Podcasting 2.0 for August 12th, 2022, episode 97, Forever 15. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the board meeting for Podcasting 2.0, your weekly vitamin pill, if you're into podcasting, I guess. It's like, carrots and tomatoes and everything in one little dusty pill. That's right. We'll bring you up to speed on everything happening with Podcasting 2.0, whatever is going on at podcastindex.social. And I am Adam Curry in the heart of the Texas Hill Country in Alabama, my master of the slideshow deck. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
It's like a V8. It's like drinking a V8.
A V8.
Every Friday.
That's what it is. Remember those V8? My mom used to drink V8s.
V8s are super gross.
Yeah.
But they're not as bad as Clamato. Do you remember Clamato?
No, I don't remember Clamato. That sounds like chlamydia in a
it
can.
Is. It's a horrible name for a drink. It's terrible. It sounds like an STD. And it tastes like an STD. It tastes it's tomato juice with clam juice mixed in.
Oh, yes, I do know Clamato. Yes, I do know this. That is a horrible drink.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what... who sat around and thought, oh, man.
Oh, if only I could come
tomato
up with
juice.
It. If only I could
tomato
mix.
Juice is not... It's not super terrible. What can we do to push it over the edge to make it literally undrinkable?
Throw some clam sap in there. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And we want your visit to the bathroom later to be equally horrible. I never told you... It just dawned on me. I never told you story...
Here it comes.
I never told you my story about what happened with the chickens about 3 weeks ago when I had that, I did that thing with Radio Inc. with Ed Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah. His,
How to Make Real Money.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a very blatant title is what I was going to say. Yes. How to Make Money with How to Make Real Money with Podcasting. Leave your wife money. Yeah.
I love the title. I love how it's just like, it's just no pulls, no punches. It's like, come and make huge sums of money or something like that. But so I did it on my lunch break, and like I normally do these things, and I wasn't thinking. So we've got chickens in the backyard. They're in a coop, and so Melissa had started letting the chickens out to roam around the yard a couple of days before that, and so we're trying to sort of train them into being like some yard chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And I come in and I'm not, typically what I do is I come in and I, for lunch break, just eat something as fast as I can, it as quickly as possible before I jump on the podcast or an interview or something. And so I'm not thinking straight. I'm eating at the same time and I let the dog out. I let Banjo out into the backyard.
Yeah.
And then I close and I'm in. Okay.
How many minutes did it take before you realized you're
about 30 seconds,
your
about
mistake.
30 seconds. Yeah. I was like, oh crap. And so I run out the back door and he's got one of the chickens pinned down by the wing, sniffing it, like ready to just eat chicken.
Eat it.
Yes. Yeah. He's looking for the
tendies.
Nuggets.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And I go in there and just, not knock him and get him out. I'm like, yeah, get away from this. Well, then these two other chick, the two other chickens, they freak out and bail out and start running across the yard. Well, he takes off after them.
Oh, no.
So I'm taking off after him.
And this is a 110-pound dog, right?
Yeah, he's well over 100 pounds, and it's about 100 degrees outside now. But and I'm running around. After about 5 minutes, I managed to finally get my hand around him.
Who's heavier, you or the dog?
We're close. It's a tie. And I finally get my hand around his collar, and I'm able to to wrestle him back in here. And then it's like literally like 30 seconds before I'm supposed to jump on with Ed. I come over here and sit down, and it's like boom live. I mean, this was like, I cannot believe I didn't look like a complete disaster on the show.
And how did it go?
Yeah. No, it went great.
Yeah.
Okay. It was fun.
Did everyone email you later and say, hey, thanks, man, I'm making money?
No, they didn't. Actually, it's funny enough. They didn't. I haven't gotten any emails.
Interesting. Interesting.
But then the next day, a hawk ate one of our chickens. So,
oh, goodness.
Yeah. The let them out in the backyard experiment didn't last very long. Yeah.
Anyway, well, I'm sorry to hear that. So are you down one chicken? So you still have two left?
Yep. Chicken down. And
chicken. I had chickens. I had probably about 10 or 12 chickens when I had the castle, and I had goats and shit. And our dog. Oh, yeah. Oh, goats are the worst.
No, it's just funny how you said at the castle.
At the castle.
I had chickens and goats at the castle.
Well, we all know I used to be rich, you know, and then I spent it all on, you know, chickens, goats, castles, helicopters, you know, stuff like that.
As one does.
Don't feel bad. I had a good time. I really did.
Those 40s were a blur.
Exactly. It was a good-ass time. It really was. It was 30 through 40. And, you know, the chickens... You know, Christina, my daughter, she was probably about 13, 14 at the time. And we said, oh, let's go, you know, this whole idyllic thing. Let's go get some eggs from the chickens. Like, oh, yeah. You know, we walk with a little basket and go, dude, chickens are mean bastards.
They're terrible.
They will pick at your hand. Like, what are you doing? Get out of here. And like, this is not at all like in the fairy tale book, you know? No.
They don't love you. They actually do not love you.
They hate you.
Yeah, a buddy of mine has chickens, and he had a bunch of them, and his son had a date coming over, and he was like, the first time they ever, you know, like this is a blind date, and so then they go, it's dark, and he's like, hey, I want you to see my chickens. They were talking about how many chickens they had and everything. He's like, come back here and look, it's really cool. So they go, he takes her in the backyard, and they have a flashlight and everything. He's like, going to show them because they had like 15 chickens. Yeah. He gets back there. A raccoon had gotten in.
Oh, goodness.
And it was just feathers and blood and guts and everywhere. He was like, oh, my God, this is horrible.
Yes. Somewhere there's an analogy in there for podcasting. I haven't quite figured it out yet.
Chicken 2.0.
Well, you know, what came first, chicken or the egg? And I'm going to make a bold prediction. I'm also going to say that, you know, I've really been paying attention to the hosting companies and the speed of development, the amount of development. I know I've mentioned it before. We have a competition going on now. People are seeing that these are standard items. You have to have your podcast, some podcasting 2.0 features. I think by this time next year, so that'll be, August 12th? Apple will have declared the namespace in their product, and they will be using probably chapters.
I need to get a pen. I got to write.
Sure, put it in our blue book. And the reason for this is very simple. This is always the problem. This is the chicken and the egg of these types of situations. But now we have, thanks to the app developers, we have receivers, we have radios, we have apps that understand these features, and there's people using them. But more importantly, now we have hosting companies who are offering this content, additional content, and any product manager will eventually say, you know, there's enough people using this that we should probably integrate some of these. Which ones are we going to do? And I'm telling you, and Apple would be smart to do it because they can differentiate. Because Spotify is stuck in their own internal processes, you know, so Spotify will say, oh yeah, they'll make translators, you know, we'll take the namespace data and we'll change it into our Spotify spec, you know, whatever Anchor is going to create. Right. I feel very comfortable making this prediction. I really do. I can see the writing on the wall, and then we all need to pat ourselves on the back and go, oh shit, we had this power all along.
Isn't that what we've been saying since the beginning? Everybody yes. has this power?
Yeah, that's why I'm coming up. I'm preparing everyone for the I told you so.
Oh, okay.
I'm preparing everybody. Yeah.
No, like that's a bold prediction.
And everyone can be really proud because it's there. It's done. You know, it's going to happen. It's inevitable, it's unavoidable, and even Spotify, you know, they're stuck in their internal processes and beliefs, etc. But we have some massive liftoff here. I mean, step back and look around and see what's happening. When you have hosts at the level of RSS.com and Buzzsprout, but you know, also Transistor and Captivate, and you have Blueberry and
Castos.
Castos, and let's not forget who's our French friends. I keep forgetting.
Oh, Castapod.
Castapod, yeah.
Kestopod.
Which is basically hosting Company in a Box. The content is being created there. It's almost like, you see it with everything. When the capability is offered at scale, which now the content is offered at scale. Hold on a second.
Come here, baby. Come here. Come on. Yeah. Good girl.
Dog, sorry. She liked the chickens. She said, I'm done with the chickens.
Yeah, I cleaned them up.
Our dog is also over 100 pounds. And I leave the door open, and she can't quite get through without her side scraping the door. You know, she could push and it would open. She won't do it. She just stands there like,
I can't get in. What am I supposed to do?
100 pounds. She could go through the door when it was closed if she wanted to. Anyway.
My dog has not figured out that he could get anything off the counter that he wanted. It just doesn't make sense to him. I mean, he could easily just pilfer everything in the whole kitchen.
So look at browsers. Look at the many projects that have shaped what browsers are today. It's all extra features. It's entire, programming languages have been added to browsers. So this will happen to all apps. It's a done deal. It really is. And I'm so proud of everybody. I'm really so fucking proud. I can't explain. It's so cool. Yeah.
Did you see that Listen Notes is going to add hosting?
No, I didn't.
Matt Medeiros posted that. So,
oh, interesting.
Just a minute ago. Well, I mean, it's on their site. The one question I have is, it says at the bottom that coming in fall, sign up for the wait list. It's coming in fall of 2022, but we're already way beyond fall of 2022. So I don't really know if this, I don't know what the status of this thing is, but supposedly it's free.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And
it's
a big deal.
Everybody has mixed feelings about free.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that. And it's also, I haven't really had time to digest it because he's posted this morning, but I don't know. Something makes me uncomfortable about directories also doing hosting.
Okay.
It's sort of like same with Apple. It makes me uncomfortable that Apple is doing hosting. They're hosting private feeds for subscriptions. If this was that, I think I would be a little bit less concerned by it. If it was like, oh, hey, we're going to be feed platform.
Because they won't expose feeds or something like that?
Well, yeah. Okay. So Listen Notes is an API. No, it's not that. It's just that Listen Notes is an API in a directory, just like Podcast Index.
Uh-huh. Just like Podcast Index, but okay.
I understand. Yes. Correction, et cetera. Listen Notes is a directory and API in the vein of Podcast Index.
Okay.
And I don't know that it's just something about it. I don't know that it feels appropriate for the, it would be like, it would be like if the library also published books. What are they going to put their stuff at the, are they going to give their stuff favoritism?
Yeah, well, of course.
There's a little bit of a separation of concerns that bothers me here.
Well, all right.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to say this. Anybody who is thinking of getting into the hosting game, you are insane. It is very, very difficult to run a good hosting company for two reasons. One is your bandwidth management. Certainly, if you're expecting to have big hits and you are not going to own them. Second is you're dealing with people who are almost on par with ham radio operators when it comes to time suck and education needs. These are people company. They really are people company. And, why does Buzzsprout have a podcast? Why does Libsyn have a podcast? Why does Blueberry have a podcast? This is all part of it. You know, Todd Cochran spends half his day talking to podcasters, you know, onboarding. You got to go to conferences. You have to have presence. I mean, this is not just, it's kind of the reverse of value for value in the ask. You know, if you're not mm-hmm. asking for any money, you're saying, here it is, we're free. You're going to get a bunch of shit. You're just going to get shit. And then, and so now you have to weed through shit to help people who don't understand anything. Which, if you don't mind, moves mm-hmm. me to marketing.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about this.
Marketing of the podcasting 2.0.
Yes. You know, podcasting 2.0, marketing, explanation, education, the things that everyone is talking about incessantly.
The stuff that we're really good at.
The stuff that we are no good at, and you and I privately have given up on it. And we said, let's just, yeah. No, it's true. Let's just see what happens. So I want to make it clear. It is my belief that Podcast Index has no need to be marketed. It does not need to be a destination site. It does not need to be an education site. It does not need to be anything other than a pointer to apps, services, developers, and other relevant resources.
Okay.
So just like everything else in podcasting, we need to decentralize this. And I have, of course, we will support anybody who sets up an informational site, an educational site, anything you have, we'll point to it. You know, we'll make a page and here's more information. So if people somehow wind up at podcastindex.org, they can find it. But we have so many people who, you know, Daniel J. Lewis is one. I think I finally got him to understand, like, why don't you just set something up? Call it podcasting 2.0 educationinyourbutt.com. And then we'll point to it.
Don't call it that, actually.
No, don't. And then we'll point to it and make a great kick-ass explanation. But, you know, when we get into let's divide the brands of the index, I don't give a shit. We don't care. We don't care. This is not a business. It's a resource. It's love. And a long, long, long term, maybe we'll get some sats that'll be worth something one day. That's it. And everything else is to serve the podcast industry. No podcaster needs to come to us to understand how to do this because they're never going to get anything. And we can't design this by committee, you know, make it. And I want Cridlin to make his own. Cridlin does his own new podcast apps version. I mean, this is fine. It doesn't have to be one central place where then we already saw a pull request. It doesn't really work. You know, make it a testing ground for stuff. You know, I love what Comic Share Blogger did with the boosts with using the value block from the website in Albi. So export that to five other sites.
That was Stephen B.
Stephen B. I'm sorry. So, you're right. Regardless, there's no third party sites. It's all first party information. If you're involved in this, write it. You know, I want to have a definitive Podping page that explains everything. Well, I know who should write it. You know, let's have all that and let's point to those pieces like a directory does, because that's what we are.
I've got thoughts.
Okay.
And these thoughts came from the recently now completed slideshow presentation for the for podcast movie.
Do you have a slide for me, which is just how to make money?
Yeah, no, you have one slide in the presentation. It's slide number two, and it says intro ...
That's what you requested. Yeah, perfect. That's exactly what I wanted. Yep.
And the other 41 slides are for me.
41 slides. You're never going to make it.
I'm going to do it. You watch me.
You're never going to make it. Okay. All right. Have you practiced?
I'll put on a damn clinic. No, I haven't practiced at all. I'm going to wing it. My thoughts from putting this thing together is, so what I had to, the structure of it is going tag by tag, and saying, okay, here's the tag, and I built an infographic for it.
Okay.
Saying infographic gives it way more credit than it deserves.
Is it two circles? Is it a box?
it's things. I'll show you. I'll send it to you. Okay. So I did a little graphic for each tag and shows how it works, trying to visualize things. And Stephen B says, nobody's claimed a podcasting education in your butt.com yet. So go grab that. So it's just slide. The slides are, take this form, tag with a graphic, maybe a couple of bullet points, and then an example, like a screenshot.
Mm-hmm.
Working through that process made me think, okay, a really good site, marketing, PR, whatever you want to call it, if there was a website that was, say, that catered to developers and podcasters who wanted to find out about each individual feature, mm-hmm. you could have a site that did that. Mm-hmm. It had some graphics, a plain English explanation, links to the developer resources for how to build it, some example code,
sure.
and then some screenshots, and like that would be in one page for each tag.
Sure.
And you can link it in. You can get fancy, put some sort of GitHub action on there. When we finalize a tag, it automatically generates a static HTML out of it or something like that. We knock yourself out. It's all there.
And so the second part of what I was going to say, to bring this full circle, the hosting companies, they are first contact. They're the front office for podcasters. You know, forget about what we're doing. You know, forget about Castapod people. Forget about Sovereign Feed people like myself. Hosting mm-hmm. companies, they have hundreds of thousands of customers. And we're going to build a website somewhere over here? You know, which, by the way, is okay, because maybe they'll point to it. Sure. Maybe there's some great resources that, or they can use, and they can lift, and they can transmogrify. But I know Buzzsprout speaks differently to their clients than Blueberry. They just speak different right. languages. So those are the guys that they are the educators. They are. I was listening to Podland, and Evo Terra was co-hosting, and he said, you know, he's really into value for value stuff. He loves it. And he says, you know, I use Fountain now exclusively, and I was listening to all these fiction podcasts, and I realized it was so horrible that none of my favorite fiction podcasts were value for value enabled. And I was so bummed out. And so I'm boosting this show saying, hey, please contact the podcast host and alert them to this wonderful thing. You know, yes. And you can say podcasterwallet.com. You can say fountain.fm. You know, you can point to different hosting companies. You know, obviously we know that rss.com now has it integrated, and others. You know, this is how it works. And we all have that responsibility. And that needs to be on someone's website where they explain what we're doing. It's like, how does it work? Well, you know, if you hear someone who doesn't have it and you listen to a podcast, tell them, send them here. So I, just so everyone knows, I'm way okay with it. You know, mm-hmm. don't sit around waiting for Dave and Adam to do anything, because, and we do everything by the seat of our pants. We have no fucking plan. None. Never had one. None. Our plan is 30 days out. You know, that's it. Do we have enough money for 30 days? Okay. So that's our plan. And we're not planning any marketing. We're not planning any of it. It doesn't make sense for us to be doing it, nor does it make sense for it to be at this place. Well, but as a pointer, of course. But you know, everyone needs to point to everything, and we have so many talented people who can. I mean, hopefully, everyone can get over the hump of, you know, there doesn't have to be one official version of this. You know, I can already see how Daniel's is going to be different from James. You know, I can see how this will be different. I can see how what you just described, maybe Alex Gates gives a shot at that. You know, or someone who's just listening who wants to contribute and help out. I mean, these are all great things that we can do. And if we can get over the, it has to be one official thing, which it doesn't, as far as I'm concerned, then we're good to go.
That's part of value for value, is that it doesn't have to be one. So none of this is licensed. We don't, we haven't trademarked any of this stuff. It's like, just take all the Podcasting 2.0 graphics and podcast, hell, take our podcast index. All that name, I just do whatever you want to
take
with it.
Take the whole thing off our hands, please. Set it up somewhere else. Run it on your metal.
Yeah. I mean, hey, wear yourself. You know, knock yourself out. That's all great with us. James on the last episode of Podland said that
you and I were teenagers. Yes, I heard that. Yes. Yeah. Hello, yeah. Hello.
He's just now discovered this. This is a new revelation.
Wow. Evidently. Okay. I know. Yeah. It's like, oh, gee.
Yeah. My wife could have told you that years ago. No, it's 100% right. I mean, the excellently named Pimp podcast improvement system.
Yes.
That's only one component of the teenagerness of this entire endeavor. The other component is we don't make any plans.
Yes. So, and because we don't make plans, and because, you know, we're just doing this because it's good, it's the right thing to do, but, well, let us have some fun. Let us joke around a little bit. You know?
Yeah, Dad.
Come on, man. Everyone trying to be real professional.
So I would like to talk for a moment.
Yes.
About Satoshi's.stream.
Oh, okay.
Because this fits in with just go do some stuff.
Okay.
Satoshi.stream. I love that nobody knows who this person is. They don't know the gender of this person. This person is just known as Satoshi.stream.
Yes, I'm not even sure that this person likes us, really.
No, I don't. I'm inclined to think that they do not.
But it's a Dutch person, I'm pretty sure.
Is it easy to? I feel like it's hard to determine whether or not Dutch people like you from their tone of voice in English.
Correct. They come across as very harsh.
Why is that? Is it?
Well, first of all, they live underwater practically, so they're stressed.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
You know, their farmers are blocking the roadways, so then there's, you know,
and throwing turds on the capital.
Yeah, it's a country. You know, they are the narco capital of the European Union. So I don't know. There's a lot of things, but it really is just the way they speak English.
And it just comes across.
It just like comes across. Okay. Just comes across as very harsh.
Do they have definite like downstrokes on the ending of the things they say? Is that the language?
It has something to do with the reversal of words. So I have been to my grandmother's, I can't even do it right, but everything is backwards. So somehow when they unscramble it and put it in the right order, it just comes across as harsh.
Okay, I got you.
But they're not, because the Dutch are fantastic people. They're very, very loving when you break through what you think is a harsh shell, but they're pretty cool. But not this guy, whoever this person is. This person's just a jerk sometimes.
Yeah, absolute douche. Satoshi's.stream emailed me and said, feel free to share this in Podcasting 2.0.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
And so he said, yo, finally I have some time to work on Satoshi.stream again.
Comic strip blogger is actually Satoshi stream? What?
That's it.
Oh, no.
Now, that would be a heck of a reveal.
Right? Wouldn't that be an eye-opener? Yeah.
finally, I have some time to work on Satoshi.stream again. Don't expect too much too soon, but I'm working on a web version.
Oh.
It also supports multiple nodes on our side for load balancing. So he said our.
Okay.
So there's more than one person involved.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and it means we do not need Telegram anymore to manage podcasts.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah, that was the one downside to, I do not like using Telegram.
Yeah. He says, working on some back-end things now. The endpoint seems to work. And he gave some other stuff. So anyway, that's
cool.
Very cool. So we'll have another easier option, because I always felt weird about telling people to go to Telegram because it seems so scammy.
Yeah.
Telegram's where all the NFT crap happens and people get their money stolen.
And I'm always getting chicks DMing me.
Did you get that? Yeah.
German chicks. And of course, it's all the same Indian dude or the guy from Nairobi or whatever. Nigeria.
Report block.
Yes. It's annoying. It's tiring. That's very cool. And I presume this is a part of what Albi has kicked off. You know, Albi somehow, they did something just a little different. And I think it's great. They picked up the LN URL protocol and really ran with it because that's like LN bits. That was one of the things we looked at in the very beginning. It's like, holy shit, there's a lot you can do. These little apps you can build yourself and set it up with its own separate little wallet on your node. You know, I always thought that would be something that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So now to have Satoshi Stream doing that is very smart. In general, I also wanted to say for app developers, I think what, I'm not sure, but I think what Podverse has now done and which the App Store accepted in test flight is you hook up your Albi node after you get the app, right?
I think so. Which is what they always wanted.
And that makes so much sense.
Yeah, it does. Because there's no
violation possible for the App Store. Exactly.
And Podverse doesn't have to worry about ever being, you know, a claim that they're messing with the keys or messing with coins or whatever.
Yep.
That's a great idea. I haven't had a chance to play with it yet because it was happened so soon before the show. But have you installed? Did you install it?
No, you're
on Android.
I don't have iOS. And even then, I'll still have to wait. And once it hits the Google Store, then I have to wait a couple days and then I can get it through. The spoof. It's a pretty cool spoof store for graphene.
Spoof store?
I don't know what that means. So you don't have to have any of the Google Play services on your phone, and you use, I'm sure it's insecure, Aurora Store. And so Aurora Store masks itself as a valid user, and then you can download the apps that are in the Play Store. Yeah, that's pretty cool, actually.
That's interesting.
I hope it's reasonably secure. I don't know. I mean, you still don't know what an app will do. What an app. And of course, you know, stuff like backup to Google Drive, and that doesn't work. But generally the apps will run.
Chad said you log into Albi and the Podverse app, and then it acts just like another Podcasting 2.0 app.
Ooh.
That's nice.
That's slick.
I have to get back on the test flight. I don't think I'm on there anymore.
Something else I also wanted to mention. Mm-hmm. I finally read through the Taro white paper. This is a Lightning Labs thing that they announced. They got the $75 million investment, and part of what they were doing with that money is Taro, which is a new protocol for multi-asset Bitcoin and Lightning. Mm-hmm. And what's very interesting about this, and at first I was like, you know, I don't know if I like this. I'm not quite sure. But then when I really dug into it, it's quite interesting the way they've done this. And I'm still unsure of the legality because it's kind of what Brian of London has done with Hive. Mm-hmm. So over the Lightning Network, you could pay a Hive node in Hive and say, all right, I want this to go to Dave in Hive. And it'll go through this exchanger node, which will turn it into Lightning. Lightning then finds the route to another exchanger node on the other end for you to receive. I wonder if it could be the same one. And then, of course, the settlement ultimately takes place over on chain once the channels close, etc. But likewise, you could send $10 in Hive and it goes straight into a US dollar wallet on the other end, $10, or with whatever minimal Lightning fee. And so the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, oh, you know, that may not be bad for us. If people can literally just hook it up to their bank account or, you know, some other type of fiat account.
My understanding of it was that it allows you to use Bitcoin. Now, Taro is something that is part of Bitcoin Core, right?
I think it's just something that's a part of LND.
Because the reason I say that is because
Taproot enabled Taro.
Oh, okay, that's what I thought. Okay, yeah. Taproot gives you the functionality. So there's a Bitcoin Core component to allowing the scripting to do the Taro.
Yeah.
So the my understanding is the way I saw it described was that you could say you could have like, I don't know, let's say $20 in USDC.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could transfer that over a Lightning channel and it would come out at the other end still being USDC.
Yeah, but basically you could punch anything in on one end and it'll come out the other end.
But middle, the transport mechanism is Lightning.
Is Lightning, exactly. Exactly, which of course ultimately is a on-chain settlement. And so the idea is, the way I see it is, you know, and it's kind of relevant with Swift, the Swift network, Swift payment network being dismantled, you know, kicking people off.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now you have a way where you could, you know, you could literally, if you know, if the network has a ruble node in there, you could send US dollars. It'll go into the Lightning node that will poop it out into Moscow, into Putin's lap in rubles, so that he can turn the gas back on.
Right. Hey, Putin, give me a little gas.
Hey, Putin, man, come on.
I guess the advantage of that, if I understand it correctly, is that you're not, there's no fees.
Well, I'll read from the announcement. Today, we're excited to announce Taro, a new Taproot-powered protocol for issuing assets on the Bitcoin blockchain that can be transferred over the Lightning Network for instant, high-volume, low-fee transactions. That's my Ryan Gentry voice.
Oh, yeah, you sound just like him. Wow. God, that... it took my breath away. So that means you can... use you can get the benefits of the low fee
instantaneous transaction. Nature. Yeah.
Yeah. But with that, and so you're not paying fees in the currency of the thing it is, supposedly.
Well, here's the flaw that I see, and maybe it isn't flaw. So you're going to have these translator nodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
That says, okay, this is this, you know, I'm receiving USDC or LUSD or whatever. That's what
it is. That?
Oh, that's Lightning, yeah, US dollars. I'm sure they're going to have a stable coin. Well, but, you know, until there's CDBCs, you're going to have to work with stable coins. And stable coins, that's not going to be a problem. Those will be regulated.
Those are going to be regulated by you think they'll be regulated by the CFTC or by the SEC?
Yeah, SEC.
Okay, because it's technically an equity.
I believe so. Yeah,
it's a financial instrument.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And there's lots of pegged currencies and stuff. So I think that'll be okay. So once you have that, but you also need a renminbi and a yuan digital token. They may exist. I don't know enough about them. The bottom line is, the system that we have in place now, and I love the romance of Bitcoin, and I prefer Bitcoin most definitely over any kind of a financial instrument. But it will, the Lightning Network is going to become very easy to integrate with local currencies. I'm just saying, I think a lot of this stuff we'll go through transition. There'll be a lot of opportunity for onboarding, make it easier. I mean, the dollar is not going to go away tomorrow and Bitcoin is the king. Okay.
Right. Yeah. No,
let's be really clear about that. And you can still receive your value for value payments in Bitcoin. In fact, that's probably preferable, but if you want, you can, you know, you could even have one split go off and put some into your bank account.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Brian's already doing that. Like you said,
that's
earlier.
What
I mean,
I'm saying. Yeah. He's already doing exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's already got the crazy mad hive machine. And I expect him to create one of these translator thingamajiggers.
Yeah, and he'll become a millionaire. You watch.
Mm-hmm. He already is. We already know that.
I do have confirmation. Indeed, when we were talking about him, Roy over there in Breezeland was indeed listening in bed.
Did he have his robe on?
He had the robe on. The floppy slippers were next to the bed because he was in his bed. But yes, we do have a confirmation that he indeed was listening in his bed. With
his
silk
sheets. For six confirmations before I totally believe
it. Silk sheets. man.
We need to discuss. We need to discuss the verify tag.
Okay.
Because I've been doing a little bit of that this week. Well, actually, you know what? Let's talk about the block tag first.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to do some tag talk?
Yeah. Tag talk. We need a jingle for tag talk. All we have is this one.
And now it's time for some hot namespace talk.
I like tag talk kind of better though.
Tag talk. That would lend itself to a quick punchy jingle.
Yes. I know. Tag talk. Everybody loves tag talk. Ha.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With maybe not the ha on the end of it, because it sounds like you're exhausted.
I am.
Okay, the block tag. The only reason is, so I think everybody understands the way this works, or at least hopefully they do. But there was discussion this week, a little bit of a mild, in podcastindex.social terms, a mild kerfuffle. With James involved, he tends to be involved in these.
Hey, that was my punchline.
Oh, sorry. about the block tag and its applicability to Apple Podcasts.
Okay.
And so I'm going to first read from the Apple document known as, because we all know hopefully by now that the iTunes namespace declares a DTD that actually is a 404. So if you try to go and if you try to click on or go to the URL where the namespace points you to, it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. It hasn't existed for many, many, many years, maybe ever. I'm not sure if it's ever existed. But the second best thing to that specification is a document from Apple on Apple's own website, of which I have made a safe copy.
Now, what was the kerfuffle? You've set us up with all this kerfuffle talk, but what was the disagreement?
I'm still set. Oh,
you're still set up? Sorry.
Yeah, this is the longest setup ever. So from this document is a podcast. It's called A Podcaster's Guide to RSS. And this is sort of like Apple's way of describing all their tags and what mm-hmm. they do and why you should use them and all that.
Right.
So when under the iTunes block, and says it's a channel level item. And here's the description they give. The podcast show or hide status. Okay, so that's in their directory or whatever. If you want your show removed from the Apple directory, use this tag. Okay.
Okay.
Next, specifying the iTunes block tag with a yes value prevents the entire podcast from appearing in Apple Podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Specifying any other value other than yes has no effect. So, and I'm going to tell you why I'm going to, this sounds like what I'm saying. It sounds like what I'm saying is Apple spec says that that the iTunes block tag only applies to Apple Podcasts, which it does. But I'm not saying that means that that's actually the case. The kerfuffle was that, we need the podcast block tag because the iTunes block tag only applies to Apple's directory.
Okay.
And James said, no, that's not the case. And I don't know if he meant that that was the actual text of the spec or if he was just referring to the way it's done in practice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, and this is what I'm trying to get at. The actual spec language itself says that it only applies to Apple Podcasts.
Right.
But what has happened in, you know, the last 20 years is that since there was no other way to block a podcast, then everybody said, okay, the iTunes block tag is what it actually means. What we're all going to treat it as if it means is that it blocks everything.
Okay.
It's a blanket block. So there's a disconnect between what the spec says and what everybody does in reality.
Yes.
And we have to live in reality. We can't always live in the spec. So you got to live who was that guy? Francis Schaeffer said you got to live in the world as it is. So the world as it is that it blocks everything, but that's not the end of the story, because that doesn't mean that we can say, okay, well, that's fine. That's a solved problem, because the one scenario that you cannot do with the iTunes blog tag is decide that you only want to blog Apple and nobody else.
Right. Because the reality is people will see that as a full block.
As a full block. Mm-hmm. Yes. So you can't, if I want to block Apple only and allow it for everybody else, that will never be doable with the iTunes blog tag. Because then you get back into now the wording of the spec matters. You can't live in the reality over here because Apple will never honor that any other way. Nobody else will honor that any other way because that's the way it's written.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's what I'm trying. That's the reason. Sort of like that little crux there. That gotcha is the reason why. There's multiple little gotchas, but that's one big one as to why the blanket block tune as written in the blanket block tag as written in iTunes spec is just not tenable and we needed something different.
Yeah, I understand. So I don't see the issue.
I don't see it either.
So there's no issue.
No, I just solved it.
Well, people are just fighting to fight.
Yeah. That's why people fight most of the time. It's because they don't have anything else to do.
All right. It's boring at home. I like the block tag. We're already using it.
What are you blocking?
I am blocking. Hold on a second. Let me double check in my sovereign feeds. We are. Hold on a second. Show info. Block. Is that only for. I think I'm only doing that on no agenda. Let me see. Because I have to do it here too then.
Pulling up the feed here.
Let me see. Show info. I think I put it
podcast in block. No. You have no block.
Okay. No agenda. I have Spotify and Facebook selected.
Oh, okay. Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Does Facebook even do podcasting anymore? I think they bail.
I don't know. It was a selection in the menu.
Okay. You're like, yes, give me some of that, please.
Well, listen, the menu, this is all sovereign feeds.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I can block Buzzsprout from importing my feed for some reason.
I know what he did. I know what he did. He pulled in the full slug list from the thing.
Shout Engine, Slack, SoundCloud, Twitter, Wooshka, YouTube, Zencast. I can block them all. I don't know if it does anything, but it's cool to add people. You just like, fuck those guys. It does. Fuck them. Yeah. Boom.
I blocked you.
I blocked you. Hey, I blocked you, bitch. Ha! Makes me feel powerful.
I like it. That's what teenagers do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, it's so we're proud users of this.
Mm-hmm.
I like it, and I can't wait until Spotify sucks in our feed again, and I can say, squeeze me.
Excuse me, talk to my lawyer. I mean my block tag.
Yeah, look at it. Look at it, people. Can't you read?
Just send them a screenshot. Okay, so the in more tag talk here, the generator tag.
Yes.
I hurt Andy's feelings this week.
Andy?
Yeah, Andy Lehman.
Oh, what did you do?
I turned his Lehman Creations generator reference back in. I overwrote it back to WordPress, and it hurt his feelings. But so what I did was
I don't understand.
I know that makes no sense. So there's two. I don't understand this. Okay, somebody that knows about WordPress needs to tell me what the crap is going on with these with the way WordPress does. The generator tag. Let me pull one up so I can make sure I'm explaining.
Is generator tag an existing tag?
Yeah, it's in the original RSS.
Original RSS, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm gonna pull up new media show here. And here we go. And I'm gonna pull up their feed. And this is what I see in their feed. It has a generator tag. That says Word is just lists WordPress.com. And then they also have this weird, like commented out. It's like, it's got the little, like less than sign, exclamation point, dash, dash, you know, that HTML comment thing.
Oh yeah.
And it's just one of the lines, it starts with that. And then it says podcast underscore generator equals blueberry space PowerPress / the version number or whatever. And then close comment. So it's like it's a different generator tag, but it's commented out. And I don't understand why that happens, but so because I can't, by normally I can't parse that because it's a comment. XML, it doesn't see it.
Oh, okay.
So what I'm trying to do is do proper attribution. I'm trying to say, okay, here's how many feeds. So this applies to Castos and Blueberry because they have these, you know, a vast fleet of these WordPress plug-in podcast generators, mm-hmm. like to the tune of tens of thousands of these things. So that's potentially, I mean, I think I'm going to give blanket numbers. I think each one of them have probably about 30,000 of these. So that's 60,000, which is not an insignificant number of podcasts being hosted on WordPress with their plugins. Mm-hmm. And I want to properly know within the index that this podcast is being generated by PowerPress, not WordPress.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, or Seriously Simple Podcasting plugin, not WordPress. So I changed that. I do a quick, like, just an index of, you know, if index of podcast underscore generator equal greater than negative one, and I just pull that string out before I do the XML parse. Mm-hmm. Grab that. If that, and then so that later I can override the WordPress thing, the WordPress generator tag with the proper generator string. And by doing that, Andy's Layman Creations podcast WordPress plugin, it properly says the generator tag to Layman Creations. And so by doing that, I clobbered him because he's doing it the right way.
Finally, I understand what the problem is.
Sorry. but I don't understand. I need a WordPress guru to explain to me why Andy is able to properly set his generator tag and everybody else does this weird thing.
With the comment.
What's the point of that? Okay. Why can't they do it the right way?
I know. It's people, man. People do annoying shit.
Okay. That was helps. A long way to go. Yeah. Yeah. But I need it. I need this.
Yeah.
Somebody tell me why.
But and just so I understand, you need it because you just need to know what's coming from where, just for all kinds of other stuff.
I need to know that my code is doing something right. Like, but is there something else? If there's something I'm missing here,
I see.
Then I may have coded around a problem that doesn't exist. I just need somebody to explain it to me so I can understand that what I'm doing is actually legitimate.
Got it. I finally upgraded my Umbral.
How did you get that to happen?
This sucked. This really sucked.
Wow. Sucked
balls. So I have two Umbrals. One is running on a Surface. That's actually the one that runs the Boostagrams. I have not attempted an upgrade on that because that's kind of the production machine. Mm-hmm. You know, when that's offline, the first thing that happens is I get Chad F and Comic Strip Blogger telling me that podcasting sucks and doesn't work. No, actually, Chad F is like the canary in the coal mine. Hey, you're not accepting SAT. Something's down. Whoop, whoop, whoop. It's the best.
Alert emoji.
Yeah, it's the best. That's how I know when shit's broken is Chad F.
That's how I know when Podthing's broken because Brian tells me.
Right. So I was just trying to get from 0.4.18, I guess, to 0.5.0, which is a significant kind of half upgrade for them. But it's, you know, this, the change in the way they do the app stores. And I wanted to reinstall IPFS because, you know, that new app is dependent upon the new structure. And so it's just one of these things that kept pushing off. And this morning was the morning. Mm-hmm. And I decided to use the one that is the Bitcoin machines, which we talked about on the last show. which is, you know, it's the one that comes from the factory. You know, it's like, you should not have to open this up. Well, I did, because whatever I did, and it's funny to look at Umbral Help websites and bump into Cridland and you and all kinds of other people, Brian of London. Like, oh.
Are we all just stupid? Is that the problem? Is it only us?
Clearly, the path has been beaten before me. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. So I'm not the only guy who hasn't been able to figure this out. So what I wound up doing is I wound up reflashing the OS, which is pretty easy on the Bitcoin machine, the standard housing of this Raspberry Pi. Because it uses the SD card, which I have to actually use needle nose pliers to get it out.
Ooh, whoa.
Because it's behind the front of the encasing. And so you can't really get your fingers in there. And now, of course, so I've reflashed it. It comes back up and says it's been updated, when it hasn't. We've all seen this. And then I did update again, and then it took. And everything worked. Now, I also turned off my Raspberry, Pi hole, and I unhooked tail scale, thinking that might have made a difference. I don't know. The bummer now is, of course, this. So I've got the stock OS, which I downloaded from the Get Umbral website, but now the display doesn't work. Because, you know, this is probably some extra stuff the Bitcoin machine guys put in or whatever. The display just doesn't work. So, yeah. Anyway, it does work. And I found a cool app, which I told you about, which is Oak Tree?
Yeah, Oak Node.
Oak Node? The thing you've been building for months?
Yeah, the thing that totally Sherlock's my cron job.
Yeah, that's the one. Well, if you look at this thing, it creates cron jobs.
That's all it does?
Yes, it's a front end for cron jobs. You even input like 144 if you want it to be, you know, a one-day interval.
Oh, funny. So this thing creates a cron job that calls LNCLI to send the payment.
Yes, sir.
That's exactly what I did.
I know, except they put a handsome interface on top of it.
Oh, well. Yeah. Mine doesn't have a handsome interface. It's just got a. It's just nano.
Although nano, man, VI at least. Come on, no, nano.
Get out of here with your VI.
Emacs, baby. No. Emacs. Come on, cord me, bitch. Let's go.
Cord me.
Nano.
I can't believe you that you went through all that and then it broke the screen.
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
It really, well, I'm going to reboot it and then see if by magic that comes back. I ran out of time for like, okay, it's working. At least for now it's working. And yeah, beautifully brought, you know, it synced the chain. It got my channels back. So all of that's perfect. That was quite amazing. And it is very pretty. The new version is beautiful.
Oh, it's dynamite. Yeah, it's dynamite. I'm still on 4.18 because I don't know what, I honestly don't know what to do to get my, because I don't. The problem is you people can flash your SD cards and stuff.
Well, see, that's the next machine I have to do. I don't have an SD card, so I'm not sure what to do on that one.
It's all is on that one is your, so I think, so like my problem is that my partition that holds the blockchain chain files, the 400 gigabytes of Bitcoin blockchain is the same partition, the same volume that holds Lightning, that holds the Umbral root.
I bet you I did exactly the same.
And so if you, if that's the case, then when it makes that, the backup of the Umbral directory, it's going to be backing up your whole blockchain. Just like it did with me, and you're going to run out of space.
Oh, man.
So I feel like what I'm going to have to do is I feel like this is the scenario. Stop all the Docker services.
Yeah.
Move the blockchain files over to a separate.
This is what you did last time.
Experiment. I'm not doing it the same way I did last time. That was janked up and that was horrible.
Oh, okay.
This is be much better. Put in a second drive, like 1 terabyte drive. Move the blockchain files over to it manually.
All right.
Then mount it as a separate volume, and then try it again. I don't understand how
that sounds. It's really too bad. I mean, because this a lot of the early adopters who are just like me, you know, adopters, not super smart at a lot of this stuff. You know, mm-hmm. This is my first experience with Docker, and it's like.
speaking of Docker, it's fantastic when it comes to Podping. It has made me a firm believer in that for sure.
Oh, really?
Okay. Cool. We just did an upgrade. Alex pushed out a version 1.25. I think we have the memory leak problem licked.
Oh.
So the issue there, as we understand it currently,
mm-hmm.
is that it wasn't a memory leak. It wasn't actually a memory leak. So, you know, the way that the OS memory manager tends to work is, you know, if your software attempts to allocate some memory, malloc or whatever process is using, if it asks for memory, the OS will give it some. And then the software can say, okay, I'm done with this memory. I'm going to free it. And it can give it back. Well, there's various flags that you can set when you give it back.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those flags, in this case, I think it's like madv_free or something like that. The effect it has is it says, okay, I'm done with this memory. The operating system can have it back. I may need it again or something along those terms. Well, this certain flag, when it sees that, the operating system says, okay, I see that I can use this memory again, but I'm not going to necessarily reclaim it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to leave it out there. And with the idea that if the system ever comes under memory pressure, then it'll go get that stuff. It's like, okay, I know I've got a bunch of memory over here I can use, but I'm not going to bother with it right now.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, I'm running low on memory. I'll go get that stuff.
Right.
Evidently, the Docker containers somehow obscure that process or make that process unreliable so that the freed memory doesn't necessarily get reclaimed properly, even under memory pressure.
Okay.
And so what he did was he switched it. He switched the Docker container to use a different Python interpreter. And we think that solved the problem. Like, it's been running for a long time now. What was happening is, like, within a few hours, it would be up, like, almost run out of memory.
Right.
And now it looks like the memory is just kind of rock solid at around 300 megs. So anyway, I think upgrading with the Docker was like, I mean, it took like 5 seconds.
Mm.
It was awesome. Yes, I'm a believer on that now.
Yeah, I'm looking at my disk. I'm using about 60% of that 1 terabyte, so I'm not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, we got to figure out a solution to this problem because I literally can't upgrade, and if I can't upgrade, I can't develop Helipad anymore on the Umbral.
Right. Yeah, they don't seem to have a good fix for the non-standard install.
Mm-mm.
Can you just reinstall it over it? Or does that fuck everything up?
I think that's part of what I did last time, and it went berserk.
Mm. Quickly, Dame Jennifer will be on in the board meeting in the next 2 weeks, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Is next week? That's next week.
I think it's next week. Yeah. Dame Jennifer has mm-hmm. raised her hand to coordinate the hackathon, and her first question was, what's a hackathon?
That's exactly who you want running your hackathon.
Yes. Perfect. Should be perfect.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get some. It'll be fun to have her on.
She's a user.
A user of the stuff. Is what I mean by that, you know, of course, she creates animated No Agenda. So she's deep into Bitcoin, understands all this stuff. She'll say she doesn't, but she does.
She does.
Yeah.
What's her day job? Marketing. Like promotion?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure right now.
I guess that's what we have.
I think she's independently wealthy. She's probably like a Viscountess or something.
A Viscountess?
You know, she's got like old British money.
Oh, okay. Does she have goats and chickens in her castle?
No, I don't. No, I don't. I don't think she lives kind of on the QT, on the DL. You know, it's like, don't want anyone to know. Yeah.
She has an island right off the Charleston coast.
I sure hope so.
Near Jekyll Island.
Do you have guest rooms is the next question.
Yeah, for real.
Exactly. Did we talk about trending last time? Yeah. About trending podcasts, you know, there's always, you know, we have the most recent, what endpoint do we have on the API, which tells you what it's like, our trending API endpoint or our,
I think that's what it's called. I think it's just called trending.
Yeah. So it always tickles me to see people say, well, you know, it's a very black box over there at Podcast Index, that training thing. We don't know how that works. And we don't
black box.
Yeah. And the reason why is because all of these rankers, which I'd never heard before. Is that a British version of ranking?
Whenever I hear that, I hear it in my head spelled R-A-N-C-O-R.
Oh, ranker. Yeah. Yes. Ranker. Exactly. So it's a ranker, which are completely meaningless because everything's gameable and everyone's known this for so long. And everyone's using weird data like number of subscribes versus unsubscribes. And, you know, maybe some people have some download data. I don't know. But why don't we just do it by, you know, and we can only do it for value, but we could have an interesting overview of people who have received the most streaming transactions, not the amount, but the number of transactions. And since we receive 1%, we should be able to track that. Or is that a data exercise that puts the fear of God into you?
It doesn't make me afraid. But they are in different places. The 1% data is in the node.
Right.
Not in the index database.
Correct.
But it could be pulled.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm...
And the reason why is because then you could see who has people listening to them. Actually listening.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a great stat to have. And you can say, you know, we can just do minutes listened.
I had a really great conversation this week with Alberto from RSS.com. And we were talking about stats.
Mm-hmm.
We had a phone call and he was just helping me brainstorm some better ways to do the stats. So this is actually really, really timely because I want to get rid of that stats page on the thing on the website, on the Podcast Index site that shows like host submitted feeds, a number of them and all. Yeah, that's horrible. It's horrible. It needs to go. It's a piece of garbage. It needs to go away.
I wouldn't mind right there having a number of minutes listened today.
So that's what I'm thinking is maybe. So he said, hey, here's what I suggest. I suggest that there are already people doing stats, people like John Spurlock, and Daniel J. Lewis has Podcast Industry Insights. There's other people out there doing stats, and you don't necessarily want to be in the stats game,
right?
So he suggested to just do some sort of score, and the score would be something very vanilla and understandable. And so then other than that, we just give out the raw data and then let people compile it into different versions of the way they want to. And one of those scores, could be number of, of minutes streamed.
Yeah. Minute stream number of, I presume, can we see if payments are coming from the same sender? Well, I guess technically if they put an alias in or something, I guess. But it's not
it's not totally
machine,
gameable.
Yeah, not machine readable. But you know, for me, it's just, I just like to know how many people, and of course it's only going to be value for value, but you know, doesn't matter if I have 10 this week and I have 20 next week, reasonable assumption is I've gone up. And then the next thing I'd like to know, maybe this is more a hosting company statistic, is where did people boost? And I think we've been through this. It almost shows itself what it wants to be. a timeline. Well,
even if it's gameable, the podcaster is getting paid to be gamed. So that's okay,
I know,
right?
It's so horrible. What a bad thing. But I mean, but you know, just I'd love to start messing around with it, see what comes out of there. It might be fun.
So the trending endpoint in the API to dispel the black box is very simple. We just take, it's very crude. We take the known API keys from apps, from actual apps, not just randos.
Right.
So, you know, okay, we know Podverse is an app, Podcast Guru is an app, CurioCaster is an app, blah, blah, blah. We take those app keys and we, at the end of every day, there's a batch job that runs through and checks how many times those known API tokens have asked for the episode list of a podcast. Meaning that that's how many times that somebody on their app has been interested in this podcast.
Okay.
Enough to call the API.
Okay.
And then we just count that number of things up to a certain limit. It's like an integer. I think it's like 255 or something. It's a raw count. And then we just sort it in reverse order when we hand it back. So the trending tag really is just
interest.
It's just the amount of interest coming from the apps for a particular podcast. And it's not, I guess you could game it by getting in there and like trying to refresh your podcast or something over and over and over. But
yes,
it's the most stable thing that we have because we don't have listening stats. I mean, we don't know. You know, so that's like the best thing I could come up with. But this other thing, like I could see putting like a little URL parameter on the end of the endpoint call where you could say, okay, which algorithm do you want to use?
Right. There you go.
Do you want to use Lightning or do you want to use default? Would that work? That would work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we just need to experiment and see what kind of data we get out of the node and how we can parse that and what we come up with. Mm-hmm. It might be very interesting.
Yeah, because I could see some people wanting one and some people want it. Like Breeze probably wants they probably want the Lightning stuff.
Of course.
But then like a regular podcast app that doesn't implement value for value, they may not care as much about that.
Not yet.
But they may. Maybe they blend it.
Everyone's going to be value for value. Just wait until the advertising market collapses upon itself. It's all trending that way, Dave Jones.
But this is the summer of programmatic. It's going to save everything.
Builders, we're builders. We're building. What is it? Bear markets are for building.
Bear markets. Oh, I haven't heard that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bear markets are for building. Yeah.
How are you going to build stuff with no money? I guess I can't say that. We did.
Speaking of such, let's thank some people for supporting this Value for Value project, this Value for Value podcast. The way we operate here is, if you've been listening, we only run on the value that we provide, and people send that back to us in many ways, time, talent, and treasure. We do need real treasure to keep everything running. Let me see if we got any. We didn't get a lot of lit boostergrams today, although 12,345 sats from Harv Hat. Thank you very much, Harv Hat.
Oh.
I see a lot of test boosts from Podverse.
Nice.
Yes, I see 1,000 here, but no name or anything. So I'm not quite sure where that's coming from. Another 1,000 from, I think Mitch is just, he's working. And then I think the live, the pre-boost started off with Boobery 1776. So there's, he says snip first. Yes, that's our boost for right now. You can support us in multiple ways. Go to podcastindex.org at the bottom. You'll see a donate button. You can send sats on chain. I'll check the tally coin to see if anything came in. Of course, we have a PayPal, and we love it when you use a podcast app from newpodcastapps.com and boost us amounts. Boost us survival cash, please.
There must be like a concert going on or a football game because there is not very much activity in the chat room today.
It's weird, isn't it?
It is weird. Is it just the end? Ooh, I wonder if...
Is there some kind of Apple event?
No, Apple event. No, not possible. But I wonder if there's some... I wonder if it's because school is starting back. I wonder if that's got people discombobulated. That does have an effect.
It's possible. It's possible.
This is the time of year. I mean, our kids start back next week. Possible. I don't know. We got some. We got zero weekly PayPals. None. Nada.
I see here. I'm looking at. We got 21.21 on Tallycoin, 4,133. And 20,140, none of which are attributable to a name, which is too bad. And just in from Lavish is 99.99. Survival cash, he says. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lavish. Appreciate that. I will go ahead and read the monthlies on the PayPal just because we don't have any other PayPals. So straight out of the gate, Podverse LLC. $50.
Thank you,
Podverse. Thank you, Podverse and the Podverse team. Alex Gates, $25. Thank you, Podcast Consultant. Lauren Ball, $24.20. Mitch Downey, also he of Podverse, $10.
Thank you, sir.
Christopher Harabarek, $10. Jeremy Cavanaugh, $10. Terry Keller, $5. Soren Hugger Mueller, $5. Chris Cowan, $5, and Jeffrey Rutherford, $5. That's our monthlies. Thank you.
All right. Thank you all very much. Now, boost! Time to see how the boosts are doing.
We have got, from George Orwell, 1,555 sats, and he says, go podcasting.
You got it, man.
Go podcasting!
Thank you.
Mike Dell from Blueberry gave us 2,500 sats, and he also says, go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Oh, Kyron, our buddy from the Mere Mortals podcast through Fountain, he gave us 4,321 sats. And he says, boosting for all the incredible queuing systems around the world.
Queuing? Queuing?
Queuing.
Queuing.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Boost, boost, boost.
But we'll take it. Thank you, Kyron.
Huh. Oh, okay. He comes in with another 4,321 through Fountain. He says, boosting for the international V4V lifestyle.
Hey, we are living the new international lifestyle of value for value.
Boost!
That's right, man. You got it. He's living it too.
He is.
Totally.
In Brisbane. Joel W., 96 sats. And the reason I read this was below the 1,000 sat limit, but I've read it because he said episode 96. Approximately 96 minutes in length. Coincidence?
I think not.
Bombshell.
Satoshis.stream, soon to have a web version, sent us 5,552 sats through Fountain with a smiley face emoji.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh, wait, another 5552 from Satoshis.stream. He says, you said no one has done a graph of boosts and listens over time. We had that since the start. It's all in the export. Nice graphs per episode, even boosts per chapter if your podcast has chapters. I stand 100% corrected. You know what? That is exactly right. I forgot they had that.
I would love to see that on a web version.
That's dynamite. Maybe they have a web version. Now they have a web version, it won't be as hard to get to through the Telegram.
Yeah, and then, you know, because what I'd love to do is I'd love to put it in the split, you know? And mm-hmm. then I can see how it shows up there. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to your web version.
Boost.
This is the, in the V4V system, and I'm assuming you're going to talk about this as a key component in your part of the podcast movement talk, is you must occasionally, at least once per show, say something that's wrong yeah. on purpose so that people,
so that people can correct you and boost you. Yes. Yes. It's content programming. Yeah, it's very, mm-hmm. very, very good.
Another boost from Satoshi Stream, 5552, and he says, Jack Reciter is using Satoshis.stream too. Oh,
excellent. Oh, perfect. Excellent.
Boostagram.
Okay, here's a boost from the Polish podcast directory, podcasty.info.
Oh.
Now, that is spelled podcasty.info.
Are these the guys that gave us a whole list of podcasts that weren't in our directory yet?
Mm-hmm, the OPML. Gave us a big
OPML. Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. Gave us a Polish OPML.
It's a PoPML.
a pulpium. Yes. We have indexed over 7,000 Polish language podcasts. It is 2,000 more since I sent to Dave our OPML file on October 2020. Thank you for saving freedom of podcasting. Updated file is coming soon.
You know, this just takes me back. Boy, did I love the original podcast index. I loved how that worked.
With the linked OPMLs?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't really an index as much as it was a directory that you could, and it was nice about it. So you had your OPML file and you could pretty much organize any way you wanted. And then, you know, if you said you could be your own top level, you'd say, oh, I want to organize this by categories. And you'd look for someone who had done stuff with aviation. And then underneath that, you could put helicopters or, you know, Cessnas or whatever. And you could kind of string it together yourself. And then there was a web rendering of it. I mean, I know I'm just waxing on, but God, I love that. I still love that idea of OPML files linked together. It's so, so cool.
Is there any type of database that does that today? Like,
no.
Is there a way that we could like,
well, the Freedom Controller does it. Remember the Freedom Controller. Yeah. We built the Freedom Controller around, this is parts of the original functionality that we like so much.
We used to use that as a
instant messaging,
as chat, yeah. Instant messaging. Yeah. Now, let me explain this to people who do not understand.
It's a very fucking cool system that, of course, exactly two people on Earth used.
Yes, it is. So imagine you have an OPML file, and people
have to understand this is not just the OPML file as you might know it, because in each node on an OPML, an outline, there's attributes and. That has been totally bastardized, you know. So the people with an OPML file of RSS feeds, you have like 1/16th of the functionality of OPML.
Yeah. Everybody thinks that OPML is just for importing and exporting RSS feeds, and that's not at all.
In fact, that's OPML what killed is it. Full length. That's what killed OPML.
It is a misunderstanding of what its use was. Yep. OPML is a full outlining markup language. And one of the attributes on each node is to include the URL of another OPML file, so that when you're going down and expanding the nodes of your outline, if it sees a reference to the URL of another OPML file, when you expand the node, it goes out and grabs all the nodes from the other outline and puts them as children of the node you just expanded.
And preserve the state which the original author of that remote node saved it in. And it's really, really, really cool.
And so what we did was we were using it. We just had an outline.
I would have
an OPML file, and Adam would have an OPML file, and we would have a master OPML file that just referenced each of the two. And then occasionally I would just collapse and re-expand my node that referenced Adam's OPML, and all the latest stuff he wrote in his outline would come into my outline. And that's how literally how we communicated for like 5 years.
Then we also did the watch this outline, so that if you had updated your outline, then it would go bold in my outline. So I knew that there was something new and I could expand it and get your new stuff. Why don't we do that anymore? Why did we stop doing that? It was so fucking cool.
Later what we did was we put in the Freedom Controller the email thing, and if an outline ever changed, it would diff it and send you the nodes that update. We did a bunch of crazy stuff, man.
Nothing as successful as this project.
No. Cole McCormick sent us 3,000 sats through Fountain.
Thank you, Cole.
Because you asked, the way I am able to give 2,000 sats for a listen is through Fountain promotion feature. Money goes in, 20% goes to the app, rest of it is sats to give away. Yeah. My vision is to be known as the guy who gives his audience the most sats. I'm doing this on the last Sunday of every month for 1 year. Kyron Down did V4V episode and split focusing on my show, America Plus, and breaks it down wonderfully.
Oh, okay. That's a good show.
Excellent. Yeah. Thanks for the explanation. B Glass 2 sent us 1,221 sats through Fountain, and he just says, boost!
Yeah, we gotcha.
Boost! Anonymous sent us 100 sasses. Podcast Index Albie Love Child Test. I just thought that was funny. Amy sent us 500 sats and said, Albie is awesome. Yes, it is. Boomy, we know Boomy. He was on the show last week. Sent us 1,000 sats. He says, wahoo, what a beautiful day. I'm reviewing the Boostergram pull request. All right.
Oh, that's probably the Boostergrams from the page. Is it not? No?
Boostergram. Oh, yeah. For the Podcast Index website. That's quick, what he's talking about, yeah.
Quick update. Mitch just sent a test, sending 1,000 sats from Podverse Mobile. There we go.
Oh, nice.
Adam, did the amount show up in helipad correctly this time? Yes, it did. Because I was getting just the split. I was getting 10 sats instead of showing up in helipad instead of 1,000 sats.
Oh, okay.
That was my bug report. That bug report was reported an hour ago, and it's fixed. Yeah, of course, it's podcasting 2.0. We got some scissor cuts, but it's fixed.
A bunch of test boosts from Mitch. Thank you, Mitch. Yep. 1,000 each.
Yeah, they are.
Boost.
A bunch of them.
Yep. Brian of London sent us 1,948. Yep. And 1,948 sats.
Israeli
the
boost.
Podcast Index webpage.
Say what?
It's through the Podcast Index webpage. The app cool. Is Podcast Index.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
And he says, well, hello. Well, hello.
Well, hello.
C-dubs.
Don't just stand there. Boost.
No, what I meant was.
How you doing, Booster?
There we go. Hello there. How you doing, Booster?
C-dubs sent us 10,101 sats through the Boost CLI. And he says, GitHub is centralized and censorship is unacceptable. Git is a decentralized protocol. But how long would it take to get development going again if GitHub deplatformed us today? I plead the board to consider self-hosting these critical services, at least as a backup. Let's see. He's got a link here. Do I click on it? Should I click on it?
Is there not a... Is there not like a Git server in the Umbral?
Ooh, I don't know. Is there?
And the only reason I bring it up, let me see. The only reason I bring it up is that could be kind of nice as a backup. Mm-hmm. Everyone could run one. Let me see. Don't we have a Git something? I'm looking at their apps. Well,
his link is to Git GITEA.
Hmm.
And what's interesting about this page that I'm looking at, GitT.io, is evidently their source code.
Oh, Git, GITEA.
Their source code is evidently hosted on GitHub.
And listen, here we go.
Yeah.
So I can set it up right here. A painless self-hosted Git service similar to GitHub, Bitbucket, and GitLab. And you can fully self-host it in private. And can you import?
No,
probably.
I'm not opposed to getting off GitHub. I just need it to not be a barrier for people to do contributions.
No, let's leave it on. Let's just leave it on GitHub here, mirror repositories from GitHub. Hello.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's the thing.
Yeah.
You can just make a backup.
Yeah. On your own.
Okay. I'm down with that. Yeah.
All right. Are you going to do it or do I do it?
No, I'll do it.
Okay.
I'll do it when I get my 5.0 upgrade.
Oh, okay. Well,
I get to 5.0.
Hawaii 5.0.
Okay. Gene Everett sent us 33,333 sats through Fountain.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I just said Hawaii 5.0.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I needed to play it. Come on, man. Doesn't this get you pumped?
How did you find that fast?
Get ready for it. Here we go. Sorry, just that feels so good on a Friday afternoon, that song, doesn't it?
Does. Man, you had that thing in your back pocket. That came out of nowhere.
Sorry.
You had it queued up. You've had that thing queued up for 6 months waiting for the
right. Yeah, just waiting for the right Friday. Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
He says, Gene Everett, 33,333,
he
says, boost.
Yo!
He says, boost!
First time, long time podcaster. I don't know what he's trying to say here. He's got emojis sprinkled in here. I don't understand.
Okay.
First time, long time. Thank you for what you guys are doing. You're changing the world. And Hive folks, follow me on Hive. Oh, Gene's a Hive guy. Okay.
All right. Hey, Hiver.
Nice.
How you doing, Hiver?
Thank you, Gene. Let's see. Gene Everett came in again with 100,000 sats.
Whoa!
Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Who's this?
Gene Everett. This is the second boost. So he says, please credit this second boost from me today to the Adam Curry fan page on Hive at Adam Curry 33.
Oh, I have a fan page. Nice.
You do. Okay.
I didn't know this. All right.
P.S. I'm Armonk born and raised, and my mom spoke extremely highly of Eugene Curry.
Oh, my grandfather. How nice. Eugene Curry? Yeah, Eugene Curry. He was quite the upstanding member of the community.
He says, God bless the Curry clan. I'll give more details when I donate to NA next. Cheers.
Oh, nice. That's so nice. I'd love to hear about it. Yeah, I mean, my dad grew up in Armonk. I've been in Armonk all my life, visiting. My uncle, 94, still lives in that house.
Armonk is the home base of IBM, right?
IBM, yeah.
Are they still there? Do they still have a presence?
You bet, yeah.
Okay.
That's still their HQ.
Macintosh 2222 through Fountain. He says, good episode as always. Macintosh.
Oh, thank you,
Macintosh.
A little bit of duck boost for you. We love rows of ducks.
Brian of London and the Hive DAO sent us 40,552 sats. He says, Shabbat Shalom Leroy Bien Bacha. Okay.
Shabbat Shalom, y'all.
Boost. That's the way you say that in Texas.
That's right. Well, my partner Ron Bloom was a Jew from Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, I'd done many seders and stuff like that at his house, and it was like Shabbat Shalom, y'all. He said, "Okay, got any RC cola?"
Let me give this another shot again, because I think he's trying to send Roy a message. You see, he says Shabbat Shalom, Leroy Bien Bacha.
Oh,
all right, I know.
Yeah. It's like, move over. I want to be in those silk sheets, I think is what that meant.
That is not appropriate. Damn, Brian. Jeez. Booberry sent us 17,776 sats through Fountain, and he says 148 unique geometric boosts. I don't know what that means.
I don't know. Booberry. I like it, though.
Boostagram.
Geometric.
It's a boostagram. It's a puzzle gram.
Okay. Let's start this up. 148 unique geometric boosts checked. 22 different ISO boost based. Boostbot playing GIFs? Super bitchin'. Dave, can you channel your inner warlord of the wasteland? # humongous vibes and hit me with bring forth the goat counter.
So what exactly does he want?
I don't know. I think, are you wanting me to say that? Bring forth the goat counter. I hope that's what he wanted.
Well, he got it. That's what he got.
Boobery, you're a weird dude. but I love you. Scotty's Cora, 51 sats of Van Halen boost. And he says another eruption of sats.
Woo! Bam, baby!
Thank you again for another great show. I look forward each week for the show and the ability to give you guys value back for the excitement you give me each episode.
Ah, thank you. That's exactly what I love hearing. That's how it works. Value for value in a nutshell.
I love it. 2222 from Lyceum. He says, Dave, presentation slides in a row. Thanks to Mr. Cridlin for fixing my pull request for the row of ducks. 2222 Satoshis to Boostagram. To the Boostagram numerology page on GitHub.
Yeah.
Lyceum Parapatos is now a contributor. Running with scissors.
Very nice.
The duck is official. How do I check incoming sats from different apps? My main podcatcher is now Fountain, but I will also use Podverse, CurioCaster, Castomatic, PodStation, Breeze, and Boost CLI. Is Helipad easy to install for a non-techie person? Could you integrate Albi too? Martin Lindeskog. Well, yeah, it's easy as long as you have
a node.
Umbral.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even if you don't have an umbral and you just have a node, it's still pretty easy.
Yeah, I would say the easiest way is to run an umbral. Mm-hmm. And then, so what I do is I make sure that my umbral has a 1% split for my podcasts. So I'm not really receiving the bulk of any sats coming in, but I'm using it for helipad mainly.
Okay.
And then after a while, those sats stack up and, you know, you can fill up your wallet with it.
Yeah, you got some jack.
You got some scratch.
Some scratch. If you need, Martin, if you need help, if you don't have an Umbral node and you have some other node and you need help with what the configuration file is supposed to look like for Helipad, tell me and I will be glad.
Yeah,
to
boost your questions.
Yes, and I will reply without boosting you back.
Boost your questions.
The Delimiter Comstrip Blogger, 15,033 sats.
Yeah, there he is, everybody.
He says, "Hiya, Adam and Dave. Please keep doing unbelievable things. Satoshi by Satoshi to the extreme. Anyways, y'all are invited to the podcast about the most important tech invented by mankind, artificial intelligence.
Ooh.
Narrated by silky voice of Gregory William Forsyth Foreman from Kent. Just type in your browser or any podcatcher, AI.cooking. Yo.
Yo, back at ya.
Bombshell.
Nothing right. From Roy, huh?
Not a single
after all
Roy.
That, after all that.
Usually what happens, this is the way that it goes down almost once a month, is I don't read anything from Roy, and then he emails
he's
me.
Like,
and
hey, he man, me and hey, says, are you
hey,
okay?
You missed my thing.
Hey, man, what's up?
Yeah, he's like, why didn't you read my boost? I'm like, oh, crap. And I go look for it, and it was there, and I missed it. So it's just this is the way that I get Roy to talk to me. That's otherwise, right. He won't ever email. He won't message me.
He's been distracted.
Okay.
Yeah, I called him the other day.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been distracted. He has to do like business stuff. That's just very destructive for guys like Roy.
Yeah. That I just want to make sure he didn't run out of sats.
No, I think that's why he was doing business stuff. Like, shit, I got no more sats to boost these guys. Yeah.
Oh, crap. I got to get out of the robe.
All right. What else do we need to do for today's board meeting? Is there anything that we need to cover that we haven't done yet?
Well, I'm looking through the list here.
By the way, I should mention Breeze has updated their app. They've got, now you can do icon view and you can, their stats. So you can see who you've boosted, how much. So they're really coming up on the podcast app side now, which is nice to see.
Dan Benjamin, I've been talking with him a lot lately. He is going ahead and putting Podping into, Fireside.
Cool.
And I'm helping him through that so that he can get ready for the live item stuff. He said live item is going to take some database changes for him. So
he's going to offer live item with a stream to his podcasters.
Not with a stream initially, okay. But he's going to put support in it to the feed.
Cause it seems to me like even that is something that you could Dockerize real quick.
A stream server.
Yeah, and fire up if someone's doing a stream, just have them, they fire up a little Docker thing and they're good to go. Yeah. In a podcast host, you know, I'm just Mr. Docker now. Now that I've had to deal with it, I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I don't know how much. I feel like you could do that. Maybe I'm crazy.
It's a bit like dashboards on Voltage. You know, it's the same thing. It's like, you know, it's firing up a Docker. And then you got a whole machine you log into, and then you've got the Thunder Hub, you know?
And you could keep a fleet of them running.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, do you remember, you ran your own Apache at some point in time, right?
Yes, of course.
Do you remember how
it worked? That's where it works just comes worked. From.
Yeah, it worked. Do you remember how Apache had this notion of child processes and max number of waiting processes.
No, man, I'm still at CGI bin, baby. I don't know.
CGI bin. Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Server-side includes SSI.
Server-side includes.
Blink tag.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Apache config file, you would specify, okay, the minimum spare servers, I think is what it was called. And so it would keep.
Oh, yes. Yes, I do recall this parameter, sure.
Yeah, if you had like 50 hits that all spawned a process. It would always be sure to keep at least like five ready to go.
Yeah.
And like, I wonder if you could do it that way where you had like a fleet and you say, okay, I'm always going to keep five stream servers spun up, ready to go. And then as the streams fall off and you don't need as many, you begin to prune back and kill the Dockers, but you always keep at least a few running. So, yeah. Just so that they're instant, you know, so that
they and, you know, what's it really going to be? I mean, No Agenda, which is a pretty big show. You know, we're between 2,000 and 3,000 streams on any given show day. It's not going to break the bank.
Well, Amita said Azura Cast is a Dockerized ice cast liquid soap in a box.
Ooh, there you go.
There you go. That'll work. I mean, this just sounds doable to me. I don't think the bandwidth is not good. What's your bandwidth? What stream rate do you use on your stream?
Well, let me see. I use, 128.
128?
Yeah.
I'm not good enough to do the math for all that.
Well, if you have 1,000, then you have, you're at a megabit per second, I think. Okay. I don't know.
That doesn't seem, that just doesn't seem out of bounds.
It's just getting it all working and, you know, someone's got to fire up a streaming server, you know, it's stuff. There's stuff to be done.
Stuff. Yeah.
Stuff. Sorry. Long COVID still.
Yeah. But I think that's doable. I just want somebody to do, the full Monty.
They're going to, and Apple is going to integrate all, even the lit tag. You watch.
I believe you.
Yeah.
I don't disbelieve
before you. All your children leave the house.
Oh, see, we got at least 6 years.
I'm telling you, it'll happen.
Okay.
All right, Dave. Should we call it a day?
Sure. Yeah, I got more stuff, but we got another show next week. That's the beautiful thing about podcasts.
We do. And then the week after that, we're going to be in Dallas for Podcast Movement, and we'll do the board meeting from Dallas. I'm not quite sure how we're going to do it yet, but we will do it.
We'll make it up on the fly like teenagers do.
And again, Dave, congratulations on all of the success.
Yeah, you too.
And absolutely. Everybody else. Everybody listening, thank you so much for attending the board meeting for Podcasting 2.0. Next week, we'll be back with more stuff to discuss. See you then, everybody. Remember to boost us!
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Boost!
Bombshell.